Tao, Chapter 13. Lhasa goes into great detail about Chapter 13 and the cause of fear. This goes far deeper than most of us can imagine. All I can do with you is present the material, present the discourse, present the insights that Lhasa offered. But once again, you have to do your own work. You have to see the validity of what we're doing here with the Tao. When I ask you, how are you doing with the Tao in session work, I get the same old answers all the time. Oh, I'm fine with it. You can't be fine with it. It goes against the current of your hypocrisy, the currents of your habits, which makes us hypocritical. So when you say that to me, of course, within I know what's really going on, but I realize you're not going to get any better. You're pretty much done. And have been for many years. So what I try to do is offer you some beautiful insights. Insights that are like planting beautiful seeds within you. In number 13, Lhasa is showing us our habitual habit of living for fear. What motivates us? The only thing that can motivate us. Fear is the only thing, and it becomes the habit of our life. Everything most people do is based out of fear. They're a bodily bunch of fears that are habitual. And what we try to do is we try to push them aside, make them go away, ignore them. But still, everything, if you look at your life, is around the whole idea of what I'm afraid of. It's about anxiety, the outcome of something, the safety of something, not getting something. And in all of that, there is this thing that we have going on within us, and it's called pride. And pride is a very, very ugly part of human nature. So in the beginning, Lhasa says in number 13, praise and disgrace cause fear. Honor and great distress are like the body. What does it mean that praise and disgrace cause fear? Praise leads to weakness. Getting it causes fear for losing it. This is why praise and disgrace cause fear. I would say that's pretty much what it's all about for most of us. Lhasa said in many, many ways, and in the Tao, he said, when men lose their understanding of the Tao, being smart came along, intellectualism came along, as he said, bringing hypocrisy with it. And that is very true. We are hypocritical. We don't know that we are, and sometimes when we do find out that we are, we go into disgrace. I want you to sit with me really in the most honest way you possibly can in this discourse. How much of the time do you do anything for the sake of praise, of being respected, of being loved, of being cherished, of being appreciated? Would you do anything that was noble, virtuous, merciful, if it weren't for the idea of getting some sort of praise for it? I was talking to a student who is leaving their body now. I've known him for many years, and I asked him, what will you take with you through death? What is it that you gained with me all these years? And he looked at me and said, I don't know. I've sought after, he said, adoration all of my life. And I never got enough to make me happy. I never got enough to make me feel appreciated. So he went on and on about that. Of course, I could do nothing, say nothing, help him, no way. So I just listen and I learn. I sit at the feet of the masters of futility in my group. And I just listen. Praise and disgrace cause fear. Honor and great distress are like the body. What does it mean that praise and disgrace cause fear? Praise leads to weakness. You understand that, I'm sure. Getting it causes fear of losing it. What are you afraid of losing? The opinions of people that haven't achieved anything within their life other than their own survival? Most people live according to the manner of their body, the mood of their body, the emotions of their body. They don't see past that. They don't understand. Much of our life was thrown away because it isn't what we did that was the culprit. It's what we wanted for what we did that is the culprit. If I only do good to get your favor, My goodness isn't worth much. If I'm only kind to get your favor, not much has happened. A great distress, a great pain will happen. Because I will really understand what I was doing. And I won't want to admit it to myself. What I did for what? To get people's attentions, to get people to like me. Human nature is human nature. And it must not be condemned as much as it needs to be transcended. We are a series of habits that constitute a great fear in our life. And we just don't really want to see it. What habits are you in, mental and emotional? They're very hard to break, aren't they? We're habitual in so many ways. We have an ideology that we think will work. If I do this, I do that, I say this, I don't say that, I'll be a happy camper, people will like me, blah, blah, blah. I can hide the lack of virtue within me. But we can't. Virtue is virtue. Love is love. Mercy is mercy. If these things are not, well, fulfilled within me, then what good was my life? I have to be able to go beyond the habits and repetitions of my own thinking, of how I deal with my thinking. What I expect from my thoughts or what I expect from my actions. What am I doing? Let me give you a little story. I hope this rings a bell in you. It is written that there was a secret touchstone in this world. The touchstone was a small pebble that could turn any common metal into pure gold. So it was explained that this pebble, this touchstone, lie on the shores of the Black Sea among thousands and thousands of other pebbles which looked exactly like it. But the secret was this: the real stone would feel warm, while ordinary stones and pebbles would feel cold. So the man sold his few belongings, bought a simple little hut by the ocean, and bought some supplies, and began testing the pebbles. This was his plan. He knew that if he picked up ordinary pebbles and threw them down, once again, if they were cold, he might pick up that same pebble again hundreds of times. So when he felt that there was a cold one, he threw it into the sea without even thinking about it. This made logical sense to him. He spent a whole day doing nothing but this, picking up stones, feeling them, and then throwing them in the ocean. He spent a week, a month, a year, 3 years. He never found the touchstone. Yet he went on this way, picking up pebbles, feeling how cold they were, and throwing them into the sea. Just visualize a minute here. Morning, evening, and night, this is what he did for years, over and over and over again. But one morning, one fateful morning, he picked up a pebble and it was warm. Instinctively, he just threw it into the sea. He had formed the habit of throwing them into the sea, you understand, and the habit made him do many, many things in his life. The poor fellow lost his touchstone. This is the way we are. Rarely do we find a warm and loving person to whom we can truly trust. Ordinarily, we find people and objects and things like the touchstone. They're cold, and they serve no useful purpose in our lore of feeling that there is good or we deserve good. So we hear things like the Tao. We pick them up like a pebble, and we think they're cold, cold to our emotions, cold to our purposes, cold to our desires, and we just throw them away. How many discourses on the Tao have you listened to? And have you thrown them away? Think about it. Have you thrown them back into the sea of your indifference, your desires? Did you not recognize even that maybe it was warm? Maybe this is something important, something beyond the confines of my desire, my ambitions, my pride. That's what Lao Tzu is saying. Praise and disgrace cause fear. Honor and greatness, distress, they are like the human body. It is always under distress. If I only do things for the sake of what I want, what I think I'll gain, I will miss. I will throw away many beautiful things in my life. I will discard them because I don't see any value in what they can do for my life, what they can offer for my living, how they could awaken me. These little nuances, these little things with people. You meet someone who is difficult, maybe someone who is unkind, and you think to yourself, well, what good could this person be to me? Well, here we are in this world together. It could be that you and I are learning something from them, mainly their impatience. And how did they become so selfish? We become selfish when we seek praise and fear disgrace. This is hard for the average person to understand. It really gets down to that simple thing. Why does praise lead to weakness? Because in it, there is no compassion. Whatever I do, if I do it well, if I look efficient at it, people will think I know. I have students and friends who are very proficient at certain things that they do. But there's no love in what they do. They're like misers. They want things to be beautiful for them. They become impatient with people. I had a friend who was a very difficult person. She was not a very happy camper. Never was, because she didn't get what she wanted out of this life. So she became extremely annoying to those around her. But one day, her soul was required of her. She's a very talented person. And she did something noble. Not for the sake of praise, but for the sake of actually helping someone. Someone who was her mortal enemy. She told me about this in session. This was years ago. How it changed her. It didn't change the person that was her mortal enemy, but it changed her. She found her pebble inside this person. All of a sudden, a warmth began to grow in her. She became mature. And this is rare for a woman to become this mature, beyond their body and the confines of their need for praise. She became lucid. Well, soon after all of this, she passed on. But she did not die the way she was born. There was merit to what she was doing. And I found this to be very, very interesting, fascinating. The one person she thought she would never be able to forgive, well, she did good towards. She helped this person beyond the reasonability of self-hatred that she had towards not only herself, but this other person. It changed her life. It made it so her death was significant. She would never be the same again. She would know only love. And that's the way she left her body, only in love. How few of us can do something like this? She broke away from her distress, her desire for adoration. She found the respect within herself for love. It was a touching moment in my life, a meaningful one. I think of her every day. I'd like to meditate with you, maybe on this very important subject, which is crucial to our living. Let's go back to what Lao Tzu said. When men lose their understanding, they become smart. And with that, hypocrisy is born. Hypocrisy is born. Don't throw that pebble away. It lives within you. Don't be hypocritical.